Welcome to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo, keeping you connected to your faith and your world. Teresa tackles the issues of faith and culture, the pro-life message, and media awareness. And now, here's Teresa Tomeo.
Happy New Year to you and yours. Hope you're having a great New Year's and still Christmas holiday. Beautiful time of year. It is a new year, 2026, January 22nd. We're so glad you joined us here for this live edition, back live with you, thanks be to God, here on EWTN. Now, we're going to be preempted in the second hour on Radio Extra because we are covering the SEEK conference, which is taking place in different places all over the country. We'll have a story on the Pope's beautiful message to the young people at the SEEK conference, which is put on by our wonderful friends at the amazing ministry FOCUS, which is an acronym for Fellowship of Catholic University Students. So, of course, you can check that out. And Doug Keck, our president emeritus, will fill us in with our inside word of what's happening. And I'm sure he'll be discussing our coverage of the beautiful SEEK conference and the many wonderful speakers. And then during our Fact Check Friday segment on this Friday, January 2nd, as we begin a brand new year, thanks be to God, I thought we would do something more on the positive side. There's some very important stories that are developing, again, with media bias, not exactly a shocker or a newsflash, but we'll get to those as we get through the year, because we always have to be aware of it and discern what we're watching and taking in. But Deacon Dom and I had the opportunity over the holidays to see two movies. And I said to Dominic, I said, that is so rare, because we rarely go out to the movies. Normally when we watch our movies is when we go back and forth overseas, because we just have all that time. That's kind of like the best place to catch up on the movies you do want to see. But we took our adorable twin grandnieces and their baby sister, Danica, and my wonderful nephew and his wife, our niece, Erica, to see the David film yesterday. I loved it. Richard, Jesse, and I were talking about it. His kids have seen it. And I think his girls went with their mother and grandmother. And I'm telling you, I thought it was really well done. The animation these days in these movies is just off the charts. It's so beautiful. The music is beautiful. There's a lot of popular Christian contemporary artists who are participating. And I thought they did a decent job of explaining the story of David and leaving out some of the parts that might not be, of course, good for kids to see at very young ages. But it was really well done. And then also the movie Song Sung Blue with Hugh Jackman and Kate Hudson. I thought it was excellent. My mother-in-law loves Neil Diamond music. So the day after Christmas, it was very quiet. And I said, hey, the movie started. Let's go see it. I thought it was great. And there's a lot to that film. Neil Diamond gave it a big thumbs up. And there's a great story behind the movie Song Sung Blue. There's actually a documentary about the couple about which the movie was based. And we'll talk about that in our Fact Check Friday segment. And then wrapping up a Friday morning with Steve Ray live from the Holy Land. He's been emailing me, telling me things are going very well. Yesterday in his latest email, he said they were up in Galilee, around the beautiful Sea of Galilee. So we'll find out how it's going there and what you can expect if maybe you're thinking about doing a pilgrimage this year with Steve Ray or someone else over to the Holy Land. If you've never done it before, great experience. I always say Catholics need to go to the Holy Land and Rome, because that connection there is just, it's incredible when you go to the two places and start putting everything together. Alrighty then, let's take a look at the weather before we get into the news. The National Weather Service says we have lake effect snow showers continuing through tomorrow, downwind of Lakes Erie, Ontario, and the eastern portion of Lake Superior. A series of storm systems will continue to impact the West Coast, specifically in California and the Pacific Northwest, throughout the weekend and into next week, bringing widespread rainfall, mountain snowfall, and gusty winds. And there's still coastal flooding that's expected in Northern California. That's a look at the forecast for this morning. Again, our rundown, we have our very own Doug Keck joining us at 15 minutes past the hour. For Fact Check Friday, taking a look at two films that Deacon Dom and I really enjoyed, David and Song Sung Blue, and then wrapping up with Steve Ray live from the Holy Land. It is 4 minutes past the hour. We appreciate your listenership this day and every day and every year here at EWTN. Happy New Year. Let's get started with the news on a Friday morning. Well, in a wonderful video message for young people taking part in the annual SEEK Youth Conference, Pope Leo told the young people, Jesus is asking us a very important question.
Today, Jesus directs the same question to each one of you. Dear young people, what do you seek? Why are you here at this conference? Perhaps your hearts are also restless, searching for meaning and fulfillment and for direction in your lives. The answer is found in a person. The Lord Jesus alone brings us true peace and joy and fulfills every one of our deepest desires. The disciples respond by asking him where he was staying. It was not enough for someone else to tell them that Jesus is the Lamb of God. They wanted to get to know him personally by spending time with him. During this conference, you too will have the opportunity to spend time with the Lord. For some of you, like Andrew, it may be your first real encounter with Christ. For others, this weekend will be an opportunity to deepen your relationship with him, as well as your understanding of the Catholic faith. Be open to what the Lord has in store for you.
Getting to know Jesus, the Holy Father continued, inspires missionary zeal as it did for St. Andrew, who immediately, he says, went to tell his brother St. Peter that he had indeed found the Messiah. Pope Leo praying that the young people at the conference would be moved by the same missionary zeal to share with those around them the joy they've received from a genuine encounter with Christ. He also said that he is inviting listeners to join him in asking Mary to lead us to know Jesus, her son, so that we may truly come to know him, to know his love for us, and the marvelous plan he has for each of us. The annual SEEK conference, sponsored by, again, the Fellowship of Catholic University Students, or FOCUS, is a 5-day experience where thousands of Catholics come together to encounter Christ through prayer, adoration, the sacraments, and inspiring speakers. More than 25,000 young people are taking part in this, the 26th SEEK conference, taking place this week, starting yesterday, January 1st, running through January 5th in the U.S. cities of Columbus, Ohio, Denver, Colorado, and Fort Worth, Texas. Now, we're also covering this, and we will be preempted in the second hour today on EWTN's Radio Extra by this wonderful conference. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord let his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord uncover his face to you and bring you peace. The Holy Father opening his first Mass of 2026 yesterday by reflecting on the blessing from the Book of Numbers, taken from yesterday's first reading. The blessing, he said, was addressed to the people of Israel who had just been liberated from slavery in Egypt and had been offered a rebirth, an open road toward the future. In this way, the Holy Father, noting the day's liturgy, reminds us that every day can be the beginning of a new life, thanks to God's generous love, his mercy, and the response of our freedom. We should thus view the coming year, the Pope urged, the roughly 5,500 faithful in attendance, as an open journey to be discovered. Meanwhile, the Pope also expressing his closeness to the victims and their loved ones of the January 1st fire in Switzerland that caused around 40 deaths and over 110 people being hurt. The president of the country says a nation will observe 5 days of mourning for those killed in the devastating fire in an alpine ski resort Bar. Ross Cullen explains, again, 40 people are dead. Dozens are being treated for their injuries.
People who suffered burns in the fatal fire are being looked after in hospitals in Paris and in Lyon, where France's top plastic surgeons are on standby to assist with specialist reconstructive care for burns victims.
The fire breaking out about 1:30 yesterday morning during a crowded New Year's Eve celebration high in the Swiss Alps. Police say it could take weeks to identify all of the victims due to the extent of their burns. Witnesses say the victims were packed in a crowded basement and that many of them were teens. Micah Kim, the 5-year-old son of popular Catholic speaker Paul Kim, has passed away. Kim announced in a tearful social media post yesterday afternoon. He died on New Year's Eve, December 31st, after more than a week on life support following a rare medical emergency brought on by a severe case of the flu. Kim is asking, of course, for privacy for his family as they grieve, but said he did feel he had to provide an update to the millions of people praying for his son and his family throughout the ordeal. He shared that over the last week and a half, his social media account has been viewed more than 50 million times by people from all over the world offering prayers for the situation. Micah was rushed to the hospital a week and a half ago after experiencing severe internal bleeding and other complications. Kim is a devoted husband and father of six and well known for his engaging talks on faith and family at Catholic conferences. The complete report can be found at CatholicNewsAgency.com. President Trump says the U.S. will intervene if Iran kills peaceful protesters during the current economic unrest. Reporter Garrett Hake says protesters have been filling the streets of Tehran for almost a week now, with some calling for regime change.
The demonstrations have been escalating for days, sparked by worsening economic conditions in the country. Cost of living is high, inflation is soaring, and Iran's currency recently crashed to a record low against the dollar.
President Trump posting on Truth Social early this morning, the U.S. is locked and loaded and ready to go if peaceful protesters die and that it will come to their rescue. Senior Iranian officials quickly responded, warning that U.S. intervention would spark chaos in the region and will be met with a firm response. Tammy Trujillo tells us a president of Venezuela now says he's ready to talk with the U.S. about oil and drug trafficking.
The Spanish-language interview was published Thursday with Nicolas Maduro. He was asked about a reported U.S. attack on a Venezuelan dock allegedly used by drug boats. Maduro said if the U.S. wants to talk seriously about an agreement to combat drug trafficking, they're ready. He also talked about the U.S. seizing Venezuelan oil and said if they want Venezuelan oil, Venezuela is ready for U.S. investments, like with Chevron, whenever they want, wherever they want, and however they want. I'm Tammy Trujillo.
A Colorado woman is dead following an apparent mountain lion attack in the Rocky Mountains. Authorities say the victim had been hiking alone near the community of Glen Haven, northwest of Boulder.
One mountain lion was shot on scene by officers, later tracked and euthanized. A second lion was located in the area and also euthanized by officers.
Colorado Parks and Wildlife spokesperson Kara Van Hoos says hikers discovering a mountain lion yards away from a woman lying on the ground and threw rocks at the animal to scare it away. The lions that were euthanized will be tested for evidence of human DNA as well as for rabies. Wildlife officials say mountain lion attacks are very rare in the state of Colorado, the last fatal attack being in 1999. And the Coast Guard is saying it's suspending its search for a 77-year-old woman who fell overboard on a cruise ship off the coast of Cuba. The Holland America Line cruise ship says it was about 40 miles north of Sabana, Cuba, when the passenger went overboard Thursday. The Coast Guard says their search lasted about 8 hours. Air quality alerts are being issued to residents in parts of Union County, about 15 miles from New York City, this following a massive warehouse fire. The blaze breaking out about 5 o'clock yesterday afternoon at a large building in Roselle Park, occupied by a plastic fabrications company, and residents reported hearing explosions.
The smoke was really terrible, and all the chemicals that were burning will burn your eyes and make you really sick.
You couldn't really see more than 10 feet in front of you. Eventually, they told us we have to evacuate.
The fire has now been put out, but an enormous amount of smoke has caused air quality concerns in the area. No word on the cause of the blaze, and thank goodness no one was hurt. The year-long celebration of America's 250th birthday is underway. In New York City, the iconic Times Square Ball was relit in red, white, and blue and raised again shortly after midnight on January 1st. The first time ever, the ball will drop outside of New Year's Eve this year when a 4th of July countdown is held in Times Square on July 3rd. Meanwhile, in Washington, D.C., the Washington Monument will feature a projection showing telling the story of America nightly through the coming Monday. Michael Kastner tells us average prices across the U.S. for the new year are starting off below $3 a gallon.
AAA puts the average cost of a gallon of gas at $2.83 a gallon as of Friday. That's down 7 cents from a month ago. The most expensive gas is in Hawaii at $4.42, while the cheapest average is in Oklahoma at $2.24. I'm Michael Kastner.
Once again, a reminder about the weather. Still some issues occurring. We have lake effect snow showers continuing through tomorrow. Downwind, Lakes Erie, Ontario, and the eastern portion of Lake Superior. Then on the west coast in California and the Pacific Northwest. Through the weekend and all the way into next week, widespread rainfall, mountain snowfall, and gusty winds. Even some flooding concerns, of course, on the West Coast as well. We'll be right back on a Friday morning, January 2nd. Happy New Year. Stay tuned. Wishing you a beautiful and a blessed and a safe Happy New Year. Continuing, of course, through the Christmas season. Don't forget about all of our great programming, and we'll discuss much of that this morning with our friend Doug Keck, of course, EWTN.com. And we're going to be preempted this morning on the EWTN Radio Extra Hour because of the great SEEK conference that's going on in several different locations. And as you heard in the news, the Holy Father just sent a message to the young people, which was beautiful. Doug Keck, Happy New Year, my friend. Good to talk to you, as always.
Yes, Happy New Year to you and to all of our listeners.
So, are we starting out with a busy, busy new year so far with EWTN program? I imagine the answer is yes.
Well, thanks to, Peter Gagnon and John Elson and our whole team and the news department, there's always stuff happening on EW10.
Yep.
And as you kind of rolled out, obviously the SEEK event is a big event. There's three of them going on, Columbus, Denver, and Fort Worth. But Columbus one is the one we'll be covering. And later this morning, you'll be able to see our coverage that begins at 10 a.m. Eastern time. And it's going to go for the next 3 days. We'll be covering the concurrent sessions. There's women's concurrent sessions that we'll be doing. And then each afternoon, there's impact sessions. And then SEEK concludes each night with keynote talks. So that's going to basically run over the weekend. And then Monday, we'll have the 9 a.m. Keynote address and closing mass from SEEK, obviously a very powerful young people's mm-hmm. series of events happening. Thanks to our great friend Curtis Martin, who was the inspiration and the leader who brought them to this. And it's really amazing how much work has gone into it and how successful it's been, and younger people really being attracted to a dynamic presentation of the faith. So check it out on EWTN.
25,000 people, they say, are attending. Young people are attending in these various sessions around the country.
Right.
25,000.
Absolutely. And people say that, you know, you need to have pizza, otherwise they won't show up. And it's not true. What you need is the truth.
You need Jesus. Then right, they'll show up.
Yeah. Well, Jesus is the truth. So
amen. You know, and the life, right?
Right. Exactly. And so you're really dealing with people are looking for reality. They're looking for something to hold on to. And it's wonderful that these series of events are able to feature those. And I know Scott Hahn's going to be speaking at the one we're covering. Unfortunately, my buddy, Father Robert Spitzer, will be speaking for the people lucky enough in Denver. They'll see him, but we won't be featuring him on our coverage from Columbus. We also have some other events, of course, coming up, the Solemnity of the Epiphany. And mm-hmm. that mass coming up on the 4th, live from the Basilica, the National Shrine of the Immaculate Conception. So that's a Sunday at 12 noon Eastern time. We've also got Savoring Our Faith, a special on the Epiphany at 4:30 p.m. on Sunday Eastern time. And Feasts with the Friar, Epiphany special, that's one of our kids' shows. That's airing on January the 6th, but having to do with the Epiphany, of course, on Tuesday the 6th. We've got our documentary on St. John Neumann airing next week on his feast day, which is the 5th. And very proud of this one, Wolves in the Fold, the new three-part miniseries. See how the radical ideologies of thinkers like Nietzsche and Marx and Freud infiltrated mainline churches and poisoned Western culture and threatened the very fundamental pillars of our faith, including the Catholic Church. And this is airing next week. Monday through Wednesday at 5:30 p.m. Eastern time, kind of a playoff of the Wolves in Sheep Clothing.
Sheep's Clothing.
A couple of programs we did, and these were programs I actually can take some credit for before I left, along with John Elson. So we're really, really proud of those. I think people will find them quite enlightening. And
okay, wait, give us the title again, because I'm writing this down, because I want to talk about this
on the
air more. Sure,
it's Wolves in the Fold, and three different focuses.
Okay.
There's a half an hour show on each one on Nietzsche, one on Marx, and one on Freud. And the idea really was to say, looking at the churches, the mainline churches especially, and impacting the Catholic Church as well, you know, where did some of these ideas come from?
Right.
How did we mm-hmm. find ourselves wandering so far away from what we thought the biblical, quote-unquote, and historical teachings of the church were? And it kind of shows how these societal and philosophers impacted the churches over years. And kind of in many ways, we've seen, certainly in the mainline, I think, watered down the faith to a point that they're meaningless. And you just see them bleeding members. And, you know, if they didn't have buildings, you wouldn't know they were there. So those are some of the great programs. We've also got a Hidden Gems on Catholic Shrine in the Midwest, Iowa's Grotto of the Redemption, which is coming up next week as well. So again, just a taste of some of the great programming, some of it live, some of it, with great preaching and great teaching and talks, and others, documentaries covering the real full gamut of what people were interested in, and certainly the topics people, I think, are interested in as you enter a new year. And, of course, as we always say, it's always available on our YouTube channel, more and more on our YouTube channel and our new expanding, on-demand platform. So check out everything at EWTN.com. It's, our app and our website. Everything is expanding and getting better each day.
Mm-hmm. Well, getting back to the wolves in the fold, I just think this is so important because every Tuesday in the second hour on EWTN's Radio Extra, we feature the Cardinal Newman Society. We call it Newman Guide News. And I had the opportunity to interview Patrick Riley this week, earlier this week. And we were talking about, if you think about, Doug, not only infiltration in the churches, parishes, and the dioceses, but you think about Catholic colleges, you wonder, how in the world did it get so bad and so crazy where they're nothing, they're only Catholic in name only, right? And so this has got to be connected to that, I would think.
Oh, absolutely. It's I really think, and we know from the Land O'Lakes conference that really took things off in the 60s and kind of divested the idea that, you know, your obligation is to be loyal to the church as opposed to academic independence and freedom, you know, kind of a thing. But, yeah, the reality is that we have too many people who think they're smarter than God, I think. And I think what also happened, at least my experience of growing up in the 60s and the 70s, kind of like theological premises that made a lot of sense for people to discuss in higher education were being pushed down into the parish as if this was a new way of thinking. And so you've got, you know, people throwing around possibilities and ideas that suddenly people are accepting or being told.
Or how about the one, here's one. How many times have we heard over the years that it really wasn't a miracle, the multiplication of the loaves and the fishes, it was just one
right.
big picnic?
The soggy fish sandwich story that Father Groeschel used to say.
The pita bread story.
Right.
Yeah.
And Father Mitch, as you know, is an expert on the Middle East culture. He said the last thing you needed to do, force Middle East people to do, was share. That was the most natural thing in a Semitic culture, was to always share whatever little you have. We see that throughout Scripture. So the idea that that was some sort of miracle to get people to do that is just preposterous.
Right, right. Or the fact that they, when Jesus says that they have been there for days, like what, they brought a cooler with them and had enough food to share? I mean, this was, you know, 2,000 plus years ago. It's so silly, and yet people just would accept this because it was coming from maybe Father so-and-so or Professor so-and-so.
Right, right. Well, you know, it's a kind of its own Gnosticism that, well, I really understand better. You have like a childlike faith. And I remember Jesus, I think he said that was a good thing, as I recall.
Mm-hmm.
But apparently in the intellectual age we live now, of course, we have to understand these things for what they really mean. And unfortunately, once you separate these things, you start playing with them. You can make up anything you want to make up. And that's where we find ourselves today, where basically people use the same words and pour different meanings into them. So they, you know, there's people saying the Eucharist, and you're trying to say, well, you're talking about the real presence in communion. You're talking about the Mass. You know, we are Eucharist. What are you talking about? You know, people use these words and you don't even know what they're talking about.
Well, it's just so interesting. I'm writing my next Italy book on St. Francis, because next year is the year of St. Francis, and people just put him in a box, and they claim he said, preach the gospel always, use words when necessary, which was is there's no confirmation of that, and it's exact opposite of what he did. And the research that I'm doing, I do more and more research on that. He preached everywhere. He had such a zeal for the Lord. So the fact that he started an order, the Friars Minor, that had so many good preachers, and he preached on Christmas Eve, of course, in Greccio. I mean, there's so much about him that I've learned. It's like we get these ideas, or he was just someone who was an environmentalist. Everything he did reflected God. Everything he pointed to, he wanted to reflect God.
Well, again, you know, he was made into a hippie in the 60s, basically. And, you know, so that's everybody, you know. So that really was the big environmental, and with the environmental movement, post-hippie kind of thing, he fit right in, and he made himself, that become an acceptable way to care about him. We're not interested in his teachings related to the church or the real presence or the Eucharist. That stuff we can, but, you know,
we can accept
comes
the environmental
stuff. The other stuff works fine for me.
Yeah. Doug, great discussion. Looking forward to the many, many great programs, including Wolves in the Fold. Our very own Doug Keck, our president emeritus, will be right back on a Friday. Stay tuned.
This is Lily.
This is Frankie.
Happy New Year, and thanks for listening to our Aunt Chi Chi on EWTN's Catholic Connection.
Thank you, girlies, Liliana and Francesca, our identical twins. growing up so quickly. Speaking of them, we took them and their sister and their parents to see the wonderful film David yesterday. So I thought I would dedicate my Fact Check Friday segment this morning to something positive out there. How difficult is it to find good stuff that doesn't offend us, that doesn't have all kinds of sexual content or bad language or radical leftist themes running through a film? Well, these two films that I'm going to talk about this morning, first, David, of course, based on King David, animated film, just beautifully done, and then the movie starring Hugh Jackman and Kate Hudson, Song Sung Blue, based on a true love story about a couple from Milwaukee who had a Neil Diamond tribute band, and they were very, very popular in the Midwest, in Milwaukee. They did a lot in that area. But it's a real, I think, well-done movie about wanting to do what you feel you were put on the earth to do in terms of your passions and what God has put on your heart. Not, of course, that film is not a Christian film, but some of the messages in there are. All right, so let's talk first about the David movie, which came out, I think, on December 19th and has been doing really well and has great reviews. I thought it was beautifully done. The music is fantastic. It features a number of very well-known Christian artists, including Lauren Daigle, and also I think Phil Wickham plays David, at least sings the songs of David. Really, really beautiful. So we're going to play a portion of the trailer first of David, and then I found some very beautiful lessons. I just Googled this and did some research of the David film, and we'll share the same about Song Sung Blue. It's interesting, though, because Deacon Dom and I were saying on the way home last night after we spent the day with our grandnieces and the family that we've rarely seen films in the theaters because we're just so busy, number one, and there hasn't been a lot really to attract us. And once in a while, if we're on a plane or going on a long flight, we'll watch a movie. That's when we'll watch a film. But being that the quality of the films have not been that great of late, it's a rarity that we would go to the film, but we enjoyed both movies. Song Sung Blue, we took my mother-in-law in Pennsylvania the day after Christmas, and then David yesterday with the girls on New Year's Day. So we'll play a little bit of one of the trailers of David to start.
When the sheep scatter,
a shepherd is who they need.
That'll teach you to mess with my sheep!
Are you going to sing or what?
Follow the light.
Ugh, get up! The king's love of the crown has consumed him. David, are you ready to be the next king?
What? No.
No?
Don't mess this up for me, David. I get to be a princess.
Again, it was really well done. And the animation in these films is just so incredible. It's just phenomenal. You feel like you're looking at real people. What was so great about the movie is obviously it's an opportunity to really get some more religion into your family, quite frankly. And it's done so creatively. And of course, they had the opportunity to talk with the girls who had a general idea of who King David is. They're in catechism and loving it and doing really well. And they really picked up on Bethlehem, knowing that Jesus was born in Bethlehem. And we went on to give them a little bit of background so they could understand about the house of David and the ancestral line of our Lord, and telling them that King David was the second king of ancient Israel, best known for defeating the giant Goliath, which is really beautifully done in the film. And also, of course, unifying the tribes of Israel and composing many psalms, being an ancestor of the Lord. So they really enjoyed it. And they especially enjoyed, of course, the music, which I thought was just beautiful. So let's take a look at some of the lessons of David. Of course, faith. The film emphasizes the importance of faith in overcoming challenges and defeating the enemies in our lives. Now, what was really cool, I thought, is about how Saul, we know, who basically lost his faith and was consumed with his kingdom and so afraid that he was going to lose it all, he was seeing it as his crown, his kingdom. And David kept saying, no, the crown belongs to the Lord. I remember it popped into my head when I was watching this, how Mother Angelica, when she would always tell the story about the satellite dish, and nobody tells it now better than our own Raymond Arroyo. And you remember the story where she got the satellite dish and she needed to pay for it and didn't have the money. So she goes into the Adoration Chapel, of course, and she tells the Lord, hey, Lord, your satellite dish is here. Not my satellite dish, not my network, it's your network. So the understanding of what belongs to whom, as in God. So I think that was very clear as well. Also, courage. David's story, a testament to the power of courage. illustrating how David's bravery in the film and determination, and of course in Scripture, led him to face and defeat Goliath, a foe that was seemingly unbeatable. And then family, of course, highlighting the significance of family and the role of family dynamics. All right, we only have about 3 minutes left, so let's get to a portion of the clip of the movie starring Hugh Jackman, Song Sung Blue. Here we go.
I'm not a songwriter. I'm not a sex symbol. I just want to entertain people.
I don't want to be a hairdresser. I want to sing. I want to dance. I want to garden. I want a cat.
I need something big. I need something new.
What do you think?
You don't want to be a Neil Diamond impersonator. You want to be a Neil Diamond interpreter.
I was looking for the right way to say it, and you just came right out and said it.
Girl, we can't stay long.
We should call ourselves Lightning and Thunder.
We got things we gotta catch up on.
So you be Lightning and I be Thunder.
Really, really well done. So what are the lessons of the movie? Well, the film really is a great example of real love and dedication. It portrays a true story of Mike and Claire Sardina, and it highlights the importance of genuine connections and the power of love in overcoming challenges. Another big point, chasing dreams. The couple's journey from struggling musicians to a successful tribute band teaches the value of pursuing one's dreams and the importance of having a supportive partner. And I thought what was so powerful in the film is how, as you heard in that trailer, portion of the trailer, where he just wanted to entertain and she felt the same way. And Claire is actually still entertaining and doing performances, and she put her full support, the wife of one of the other main characters, of course, Mike Sardina, she put her full support behind the film. Now, there's some controversy with Mike's children from his first marriage who say that they didn't include them, and there's some problems with it. But overall, Claire supported the film, and Neil Diamond loved the film. And it is, I think, a beautiful portrayal of the fact that, wow, when you have problems in your life, you can overcome them with love. Now, it's not a Christian film, but the themes in it, I think, are very Christian in terms of support and sacrifice. Really illustrated the sacrifices they make and they made as performers. And you think about someone who really loves what they do. And he says, you know, I don't want to be a star. I just want to sing. And that came through, as did the love they had for each other. Based on a true story of Mike and Claire Sardina, two movies I think worth seeing, David and Song Sung Blue. We'll be right back. So excited to head over to the Holy Land, my dear friend, pilgrimage leader, author, convert to the faith, Steve Ray, with a group there, some 40 people. Steve, happy New Year, Merry Christmas.
Good morning. I'm on live with Steve on EWTN
Steve.
Right now.
Hello.
Steve?
Hello, Steve.
Can you hear me, Teresa? Hello.
I can.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you. How are you?
Okay, I've got 52 pilgrims. I have 52 pilgrims here that are ready to get off the bus, but they want to say hello.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, here. Did you hear them?
No, barely. Tell them to do it again. Speak more loudly.
Okay, she said, do it a little louder. Did you hear that one?
I heard that one. Okay.
Okay, good. Yeah, we're we'll get off now. We're getting off the dance here at the restaurant.
Okay. All right, so where are you?
So I'm in Bethlehem. We are.
Wow.
We just got done going through the Nativity and Beth Sahur and the Nativity Church and Shepherd's Field had Mass in the cave. All that kind of stuff we've been doing today in Bethlehem, all day Bethlehem.
All right, so tell us how it's been going. You've been sending me great pictures, and I've been following along and enjoying it and reliving all of my times with you and Janet and Deacon Dom in the Holy Land. Describe it, Steve, in terms of the crowds, the situation. Is it peaceful? What's it like?
Oh, my goodness. It's as peaceful as it ever is. Life in Israel and going on is normal. Can you hand that to Janet? Life in here is going on as normal. You'd never know there's any problem. The only difference, Teresa, is there's no crowd.
Mm.
There's no buses. So today we went into the Nativity Church, and we all just went right down in and had time to go down. There was no groups, no standing in the line, and it's absolutely peaceful here. If you didn't know, that there had been a lot of news going on in the United States in the last 2 years. You would never know anything was different here. And the people said, when you watch the news, it sounds 100 times worse than it is. Nobody over here, we're just living like normal. So it's but what's really nice, Teresa, is that there are no buses here. We've seen maybe 2 or 3 buses on the first 5 days of our trip. So we're going around up in Nazareth and the Beatitudes, the Sea of Galilee, and there's nobody here. It's just us.
Well, let's talk about that, too, because it could give people a perspective. I've done now, I think, over a dozen pilgrimages with you and Janet and Dom to the Holy Land. And yep. I can remember the days when we stood in line in the Church of the Nativity for 3 hours waiting to get down to the grotto.
Yep. We're the only bus there today. It was just some locals. The local people are coming because it's still Christmas. They have it. This is Christmas and New Year's. And so the locals from around, the Christians from Nazareth and other places, they're coming here also to see it. So there were, as the only people that were really here were a handful of locals and us, and we're 53. Everywhere we go, they say we're the talk of the town because we're the first big American group that's come back in 2.5 years.
So did you start like you normally do up in the Galilee area? Kind of walk us through the tour so far, Steve.
Okay, yeah, well, we've done this 100 times with groups and always with Amar Shahada, our guide, the same guide and our same driver. So we've always done the same trip, and we fine-tuned it over 100 times. So everybody lands. We drive up to the Sea of Galilee. We spend the first night there, and we're stayed at Nas Kinassar, which is a kibbutz on the water. So everybody
yep,
can go
there.
Right down by the
Beautiful.
Sea of Galilee, touch the water. Yeah, and that was the first, when Janet and I came 30 more years ago, in 1995, that's where we stayed the first time. And so we stayed at Nas Kinassar, wonderful dinners. And then we went the first day, a little bit different because, see, when it's New Year's, certain things are open and not open. And we have to kind of jog the itinerary around to make it work. So, but Amar, you know, and we've done it so many times, that's easy. So we went that first day to, as we always do, to Nazareth, where we see where. And, you know, I say to people that it's not just the Church of Annunciation, it's the Church of the Incarnation, because that's really where God became man, at that church, not in Bethlehem. And we've been up to the Golan Heights. We went up right up along the Lebanese border. People are saying, are you crazy? Well, our driver and Amar are in close touch with the military, and if there had been any issues, we wouldn't have gone up there. But it was perfectly peaceful, no issues. So we went right up to Banyas, which is Caesarea Philippi, where Jesus said, you are rock. We had lunch at the Drew's restaurant, had Drew's bread sandwich. We went to Primacy of Peter, your favorite place.
Yep.
And we went there, and I gave my talk on John 21, and we went to the multiplication of loaves. We had Mass yesterday morning at Beatitudes. And we also went to Cana, renewed wedding vows there, and went up on the top of the Mount of Transfiguration. So everywhere we go, people are so excited to see us, Teresa, because they've been 2.5 years with no business. Christians make a living over here by tourism and by pilgrims. And so they've been without work for 2 years, and all of a sudden this big bus full of Americans pull up. You know, the American Catholics, we're back! And so they're really all excited.
Talking with Steve Ray, pilgrimage leader, author, speaker, convert to the faith at CatholicConvert.com is his website. For more information on his wonderful pilgrimages, Footprints of God is his website. There's a link to it on his homepage. And he goes to Israel on a regular basis. Of course, that was put on hold for a while because of the war, but things are opening up again, which is so exciting. So you must be on your tail end of the trip in Jerusalem because you're in Bethlehem right now, right?
We've got 3 days to go. Today was all day Bethlehem, and we're now at the Grotto Restaurant where we're going to have the Passover lamb, the big roast lamb, and then we're all going to dance with the Christian Dabka traditional dancers. And all. And by the way, this is our family pilgrimage. We have, I think, 11 or 12 young people, all in their teens. My granddaughter, Bella, is 16. She's with us. And all of those kids, you know, the first day, they kind of looking at each other, sizing each other up, you know, staying with their parents. But by the second day, they want nothing to do with their parents. All those 11 kids are sitting together. They're on the back of the bus. They're having an absolute riot. My daughter, Bella, granddaughter Bella, is just having fun. And we're coming back with Ave Maria University at the end of February. So in about 6 weeks, Janet and I are coming back. My son is leading that one. Jesse, he's starting to do that, bringing groups now of college students. So, and Tom Monahan's going to be on that one, believe it or not.
Wow.
And so we've got donors and 35 students from Ave Maria, and three of my grandkids will be on that trip, too. So we're going to be back in April, by the way. If anybody wants to come back, still maybe before the crowds get back, get on our April trip. And then we're doing November and December next year, too.
So I can hear the excitement in your voice in terms of being back. It must mean so much to you and Janet to be there again.
Oh, it really does. It's, you know, 2.5 years is a long time. And we have friends over here. We know they're suffering because there's no business. We tried to take up collections and send money to some of them as much as we could to help them out. But you should see their radiant faces when they see us get off the bus at their restaurant or at their shop. Some of the, you know, the Franciscan priests remember us and come up running and want to hug us. And it's just, it's like a homecoming in a way,
right,
after 2.5 years. And so it's very exciting. The holy sites are beautiful. They've renovated some of them over the time period. But the thing I have to emphasize, what I love about this, I kept telling people, it's perfectly safe. Come with us. We know what we're doing. And there's no crowds. If you want to see the holy sites without standing in lines, come with us now. And 53 people took me up on it. And they're getting to do all of this stuff with no lines, with no crowds. It is absolutely delicious.
Well, again, having experience, so I've been there with you when it hasn't been crowded, but most of the time, because the Holy Land obviously is a very, very top tourist and pilgrimage spot. Many times, Steve, again, in addition to the church and the Nativity, we would wait for hours elsewhere, you know, to get into the Holy Sepulchre Church, and there'd be a line all the way around the tomb of our Lord. So this is such an opportunity, and especially this time of year. What's it like there at Christmas time and New Year's?
We just sent you a picture of our group in Nativity Square in front of a huge Christmas tree. And for 2 years, the Christians have not celebrated, both because of the tension over here with the Muslims and because they did not want to, they were not happy. They were sad because of the war and because of the lack of work and everything going on. But this year, they just busted out. The Christians just busted out of that, out of the doldrums, so to speak, and they put up beautiful Christmas trees. There's been Christmas fairs and markets and dancing in the parks, and it's really great. So I just took a picture today of us all in front of the big Christmas tree in Nativity Square, and that tree was donated, paid for by my friend Fadi at the Olivewood store.
Oh, I know him. I remember him. Yeah. Yep.
And he paid for that. So when you see that picture I sent you of that huge tree, he paid for that and put that in the square for all the Christians in Bethlehem.
Now, you're a very emotional person. You love the Lord so much, and you love the church. I can only imagine when you're giving your incredible talks, which is like an extra huge bonus of people who travel with you. I never get tired of hearing your talks, especially at Caesarea Philippi and at Capernaum. But I can imagine, Steve, that you were probably overcome several times when you were talking to the pilgrims.
It's true. And I also have to say, after 2.5 years, Amr and I were joking that we feel like we're a little rusty. So I was blaming it on the microphone. I said, you know, this microphone's a little rusty. But we're doing good. It's all coming back. It's all coming back to our minds, you know, as we go through these sites. But after 2.5 years, those talks that I do 7 times a year on the tip of my tongue, you know, I got to kind of work to bring those gray cells back to life in my brain. So, but anyway, people should know that if they want to join us virtually on my website, CatholicConvert.com, I'm posting videos every night, so you can join us virtually on CatholicConvert.com.
Well, Steve, I can't wait to get back there with you, God willing, very soon. Please give my love to Janet and tell Amr I said hello, and send me pictures of the dancing, and you tell him the dancing is just not going to be the same without me leading the group.
That's true. But I've got 11 kids who are teenagers.
Oh, okay, so they'll keep it lively. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, my dear. Well, we love you.
Come on. And
absolutely. Thank you so much for beginning our new year in such a positive way to let people know that the pilgrims are back in the Holy Land and that it is safe. And Steve is a witness to that. And he would never, ever, ever take a group there if he didn't think it was safe. So really, if you're interested in going back
join us in April.
April. Okay, so we'll send them to CatholicConvert.com and Footprints of God. Thanks, Steve, so much. Happy New Year.
Yep. Thank you, Teresa. God bless you. And Deborah and Richard, too.
All right. My producers, Deborah and Richard. Thanks, Steve. God bless you. Give Janet a big hug. What a great interview. I love him. He's always so excited about the faith, and you can hear the excitement in his voice. It means so much to him because the Holy Land is to Steve what Italy is to me, and the two of us, we share that passion when we do trips together, but I'm so excited for him and Janet because they love the Holy Land like nobody's business. We'll be right back to let you know what's coming up on Monday's show, and don't forget EWTN Radio Extra. We're going to be having the SEEK conference for you. We'll be right back. Again, if you'd like to check out the wonderful pilgrimages to the Holy Land of my dear friend and pilgrimage partner, Steve Ray, you can go to CatholicConvert.com. I'm so excited for him and the pilgrims. Just awesome. Alrighty then, coming up on a Monday morning edition, we will have Matt Swaim back with us, and we are going to hear him talk about a former Presbyterian who became Catholic. And Matt joins us on Mondays at 15 minutes past the first hour of the program to talk about highlights from the journey home, because he is a producer. He also is with the Coming Home Network and, of course, a host of the Sunrise Morning Show along with Anna Mitchell. And then we're going to be talking about a beautiful movie, Hazel's Heart, a new movie from Samuel Golden Films. And the director, the Catholic director, Daniel Belinsky, is going to be with us. So I'm excited about that. Again, I really like to, as we did this morning on Catholic Connection in our Fact Check Friday section, I like to highlight things that are, you know, positive. There's so much negative now. Granted, it's important to talk about media bias and all the negative, you know, influence. But at the same time, we need to know that there are people who are still trying to do good in the world. And so we're going to talk about the movie Hazel's Heart, and we will bring that to you as well. And it's a beautiful, beautiful story of struggle and growth and overcoming hard times. So we'll give you the details on Monday. Wishing you a beautiful weekend this weekend, the first full weekend of the new year, 2026. And don't forget, we have special coverage of the SEEK conference. All the information is at EWTN.com. But this hour on EWTN Radio Extra will be carried live from SEEK. Have a great week, and we'll talk to you on a Monday. God bless.